Indeed, with our special guest this hour, Nancy Dutertre, as we talk about her work, Psychic Intuition, How to Talk to an Alien, and of course, this is the interactive portion of the show where we take your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back, Nancy Dutertre, with us, our special guest, her book, How to Talk to an Alien, and Psychic Intuition as well. Did you ever meet or come across my aunt who knew Ingo Swann very well, Nancy? Your name was Shafika Karegula?
No.
She wrote a book called Breakthrough to Creativity. She was a psychiatrist who devoted her entire career to studying ESP and telepathy and everything else. She was one of the first to do that.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
How interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, try to pick up that book, Breakthrough to Creativity. I think you'll like that.
You know, there's a, Ingo's family has, they've basically put together a film that's being, the short version is being released in about a week and a half.
And if we're all remote viewers, we don't have to go see it. We can just watch it from our
home. Yeah. It's called a Life Gone Wild. And I don't know, is your aunt still around?
No, she passed away. A radio fell into her tub, got electrocuted.
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
What a horrible way.
Oh.
I keep telling people, thank God she wasn't listening to my show. It's weird how she passed away, but she would call me every once in a while. This is years ago she died, long before I started doing this program. But she knew I was interested in this, and we would talk a lot about that. And I was in the news business at the time. She lived in the Beverly Hills area. And, I don't know how far she would have gone had she lived, because she was, you know, studying this more than anybody. And she was making some incredible inroads. I mean, truly convinced that ESP and telepathy were real phenomena and that they worked.
She was right. And obviously, she was a true pioneer.
Yeah, she really was. Some have called you the skeptical psychic. How come?
Well, why would you say such a thing?
I know. Slap me now.
No. I'm teasing.
Ow, Nance. Ow. Why'd you do that?
Because I, you know, it goes back to what I was saying before, which is I don't trust what people say at face value.
Well, that's healthy.
I don't trust my own intuitions a lot of times also. I'm as skeptical of myself as I am of other people. So I make things hard for myself. You know, a lot of people just do this naturally, and they believe in themselves and believe what they see and feel and what other people tell them, and life is good and it all works out. Me, I'm just not that way. You know, I have to test everything. It's just my nature.
Do you think we live in a holographic or digital universe?
You know, in thinking about this binary code that from CJ in Georgia, and also the one from Renderson Forest, it occurs, well, let me put it this way. There are many occasions when I have heard usually at night, very, very, very faintly, but it sounds like a sort of a Morse code, which is a version of a binary code. And so part of me feels that we may all be living in a vibrational field that is computational.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how else to put it. So I think that...
Are you a God believer?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. You think your belief in God has helped your psychic ability?
No, my psychic ability helped my belief in God.
Explain that.
I grew up, you know, I went to Sunday school, was taught all the stuff that you're taught. I mean, I was brought up Protestant, and I really wanted to believe in God, but I had a hard time. I just, you know, it was kind of too difficult to be believable. But having gone into the psychic and paranormal worlds, I understand that spirit is alive, well, surrounding us and influencing us at all times, and that there is good and that there's evil, which I never used to believe, and that if you're going to venture into those spiritual worlds, and we are all, to a large extent, spiritual beings as well as being physical beings, you need spiritual allies because you're not as powerful as you think. And among those, for me anyway, those spiritual allies, they go to God. And so that has really helped me to kind of operate in the worlds that I operate in.
All right, to the phones now we go. Let's go to Shelley in, Shelley's not ready. Shira in Sacramento, California on the wildcard line. Hi, Shira, go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
I wanted to ask Nancy if she has an idea, and I have a story to tell you quickly after my question.
All right.
Do you tend to see more of intuition happening with positive aspects or with warnings?
So the question is, do I see intuition with positive aspects or with warning?
Do you see a proclivity towards more one more than the other? Do you get more warning intuitions or kind of hunches of maybe a good possibility happening?
I think that, okay, so for me personally, I think that I tend to focus a lot on global events, mm-hmm. and a lot of future, what you might call catastrophic events. But I mean, I intuit also, you know, lots of tiny things all the time, and they tend to be extremely positive. I knew one of my dearest friends passed away in September of brain cancer, and the last I had seen him, he was doing incredibly well, was, you know, actually on the mend. And I had a dream about him when I was traveling, and I called up his wife, and I, without trying to alarm her, I said, you know, is everything okay with him? And she said, oh, yeah, he's doing absolutely great, better than he's done for a half a year, fantastic. And I said, well, I had this dream, and she pushed me on it, and I said, well, in my dream, he was quite ill. I didn't tell her how ill, but he was definitely ill in my dream, and he said he did not want anyone to celebrate his birthday. And 4 months later, he passed away on his birthday. Do I think that was a catastrophic thing or a warning thing? No, but it was a tuning in. It was important that I know that to some degree. But I think everybody sort of naturally gravitates to whatever attracts them. Some people, I had a roommate in college, she would only dream when people would die, and then they would die almost immediately. Some people dream about death. Some people dream about births or dangers or all kinds of things. It's sort of wherever you're vibrationally attracted.
Okay, sure. You had some comments?
Yes, I'll try to make it really quick. That was kind of where I was getting at with it, because I've had a lot of instances where I've dreamt or had intuition about people dying. I've called in a couple times, so I won't reiterate it all, but I had a cousin that passed away, and in a dream warned me that my little cat was about to pass away, and she did. And then my grandmother, when she was ill, I started getting feeling the pains in my kidneys, and then her kidney shut down. I said she's not going to make it, and she died the next day. But something really amazing happened this weekend. On Saturday, I had I'd been searching for my half brother that I've never met for almost 23 years, And something just told me, I woke up really early on Saturday, I wanted to go back to sleep. Something just told me to check online on a social media account. And someone had posted a people search type of site. And I just, out of curiosity, put in whatever very few scant details I had. And I just on a hunch did it. And I found him and I spoke to him for the first time in my life this weekend.
Wow. And yeah, that's the great thing. That's the great thing.
Yeah, and usually, like I said, it's usually death and premonitions of warnings and bad things happening. And this was just a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful thing that came out of a hunch of intuition.
Good for you. Good for you. That's super how it works that way. It's very powerful when it works well, Nancy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And
when it works.
That's the whole idea. That's why I say it's like you get on the super highway of information if you listen to it. And then you can learn stuff really fast and really good information, and you can get places faster. And that's a really powerful tool.
Okay, next up, let's go to Tom in Baltimore. Welcome to the show. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
Hi, George, and hello to your guest. George is such a great host. I've got to ask a question. Since you put it in my mind, I've been listening to you for decades. You kept me awake on the midnight shift in Baltimore, and you brought up the God issue. And that's something you don't bring up as much as you used to, but boy, once you're a Christian, George, he's got you. He's always going to be putting that thought in your mind, and
that's
he did
true.
Tonight, and you asked it. And she didn't fully answer. I'm wondering what God she's referring to.
There you go, Nancy.
What God am I referring to?
Right, you said it.
My God,
your belief
obviously.
In God, and I'm wondering, and I have a more important, well, maybe not more important, but law enforcement question after you answer that, too.
I believe in my God. I don't know what your God or anybody else's God is, but I know what my God means to me.
What's his name? Or what do you call him? I'm not trying to be adversarial. I'm just curious.
I guess God.
God.
Yeah.
Okay. Because as Christians, we're warned to be very leery of the paranormal, that it can be deceitful. We're expected to look out for that. And that's a good segue into my question about law enforcement. We know the beginning, as you so well have told the story tonight, and it's been very interesting, but I'm wondering, how does it end when you help the police, and I'm a retired cop, I'm curious as to what type of reasoning you use, deductive, inductive, abductive, and when it goes to court, how do these stories end? Are they successfully convicted, or are you challenged in court by defense attorneys?
I never get to court, at least not in that capacity.
Now, wouldn't that be a Brady violation in discovery? I'm sure defense attorneys are going to want to know from the police, well, how did this investigation go? Give us all your discovery material. They must be leaving it out, right?
I don't know whether they leave it out, because frankly, that's well beyond what I do as a psychic detective. And on top of that, I mean, courts are generally, dismiss and rule against any type of testimony that's given by psychics in cases.
Well,
so
they would
really no point in even, you know, going that far. What you do is the way that I look at it is you stay well behind in the scenes. You offer any insights you may have, and they choose to follow up on them or not.
Right, but that's the whole point of discovery, so that a person can have a fair trial. Because aren't you concerned about verification bias? You know, you steer the police in one direction. We're all apt to have that verification bias. It's something as a detective I had to be very careful of. For example, if I'm investigating a rape, naturally I'm looking for an individual who the female can describe, and maybe she only knows a height, and that's all I have to go on. But I have to be careful not to assume it's a male, and we naturally assume that. And that's just an easy example of verification bias. But does that concern you? And do police ever ask you if it's concerning to them. It's concerning to me for people getting a fair trial.
No, not at all. Because, well, first of all, I'm walking into all of these things virtually blind. You know, I may get the equivalent of whatever is on a police flyer in terms of a description, but I'm not getting more than that.
That's all you get, if that.
Yeah. So what I'm giving them is, you know, if it kind of pings them on any particular issue, like I've been, you know, sometimes I can accurately describe the suspect that they've been looking at. And if that's the case, they may want some more impressions that I may get, you know, and they'll start to create a little pathway, you know, for themselves. But I'm just offering impressions based on literally nothing.
Nancy, since you've been doing this, would you say that this has been good for you, bad for you? I mean, how would you categorize the ability to have the psychic intuition? Has it been a great tool for you?
This is the best thing I ever did in my entire life. I mean, absolutely no doubt about it. It's opened up realities for me. It's opened up the way I look at everything. It's allowed me to look at life with it's much richer. It's much more complex. It's a great thing. It really is.
Let's go to Cornelius in Alexandria, Louisiana. Hello, Cornelius.
Hello, George and Miss Nancy. I'm going to give you an easy one. Like I tell George, I'm a God, gun, the gold man, the Bible bullets and beans man.
Yes, you are.
Miss Nancy, I'm glad you said you're a godly person and stuff. I believe these aliens are fallen angels, and I believe God has his guardian angels and stuff. And I just wanted to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Of course, the fallen angels are deceiving us, just like the devil and the Antichrist. And with the things going on with poor Trump and everything, do you think that this is about end times and stuff like that? I'll take my answer off here. God bless you, George and Miss Nancy.
You too. About 40 seconds left before the break, Nancy.
Do I think that this is end of times?
It could be. The apocalypse is here. What do you think?
I don't, you know, thoughts are things. You put them out there and they become realities. Also, as aliens, whoever they are, have told us that, you know, our future can be changed by our intentions and the thoughts we put out there. Am I concerned? Yes, extremely.
All right, stick with us. We're going to come back in a moment with final phone calls with Nancy as we talk about her work, psychic intuition, how to talk to an alien as well. So much more just ahead on Coast to Coast AM. We will be right back. Don't touch your dial. Okay, welcome back to Coast with our guest, Nancy Dutertre. And her book, of course, is called Psychic Intuition, Everything You Ever Wanted to Ask But Were Afraid to Know. And then she's got a book on how to talk to an alien. Can you summon up an alien anytime you want, Nancy?
No, I try, but no. No, I think in general they get to pick.
And what's their motivation? What are they trying to accomplish here?
You know, what is anybody trying to accomplish when they're communicating? They're trying to create a connection. I think there's some, you know, I think that we're all like, you know, we're like lights that are all connected on the same line, you know, and if you can get the different lights to all go on at the same time, you generate the maximum amount of light, and that's ultimately the goal. So I think that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
But what do I know? I don't know.
Well, you know a lot, actually.
Well, you know, I think for a lot of these things, people, they hear certain things said, you know, on social media or on the internet or on TV or whatever, and things get repeated so many times that eventually people think it's a fact. and they're comfortable repeating it like it's a reality. And I'm really careful about that. You know, so there are many things that I don't know, and I've spoken to, you know, as I know you have, the world's, you know, top experts in a lot of these different fields, and they don't know. So you get sort of a baseline understanding of what's an appropriate assumption to make about aliens and what's not. You know, if you've had certain, you know, your own personal contact experiences, you know what the extent of them are. I know what the extent of mine are, and I'm very careful not to try and push out those boundaries and say, oh, yeah, well, I know that they're from XYZ planets, and, you know, I know exactly what languages all of them speak, and I know how many species there are. I really don't. I've heard many, many different numbers on many things, and I've experienced many different things. So I'm just really careful.
Okay, now let's go to final calls. Bradley's in Alberta, Canada. Welcome to the show. Hi, Bradley.
Hi, George. Hi, Nancy.
Hi there.
Actually, I have a couple different issues on a couple different questions.
Okay.
I was actually wondering, with the abilities, the intuition.
Okay.
Does that enable you to see spirit?
Yeah, definitely.
Because at like 12:30, quarter to one, just before I come upstairs to watch a show, my mother and I were talking, and I actually seen my deceased dog standing almost right beside me, ready to go into the room with me. And then I went to pet him, and he just disappeared, you know. So I was kind of wondering if intuition opens up like a doorway for seeing spirit and like remote viewing. And
well, the more psychically inclined you are, and Nancy, I think you'll agree here, the more it does open up these different avenues for these things to happen. Don't you agree, Nancy?
Completely, because what you are allowing yourself to see, and it's what I was saying about it, it's how you connect the dots of reality. You're allowing yourself to see what's already there. It's just when you assume, you know, that we don't see ghosts and ghosts aren't really real, and if they are there, you don't want to see them.
You're not open to it.
They'll block it out. Once you open up that intuitive sense, you're sensing energies, and really subtle energies, and suddenly you're going to start to experience all kinds of stuff.
Okay, what else do you have there, Bradley?
Okay, well, the other thing was, like, do you do readings or anything?
All the time.
You do personal readings?
Sure.
Could you do one for me and my mother?
I won't do it on air, because the way that I do readings, I take them extremely seriously. I do what I call an advance reading prior to the actual reading, which is a form of remote viewing, you know, or clairvoyance, whatever you want to call it.
But you'll do it under something arranged, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's...
How do they find you?
Anybody can find me on my website, which is theskepticalpsychic.com.
There you go, Bradley.
If you want to set up a reading, you can just go on the website and set it up.
Theskepticalpsychic.com, which is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Good luck to you, Bradley. Let's go to Brandy in Cameron Park, California. Hi, Brandy. Welcome to the program. Good morning.
Hi. I just had a question about, I have something pretty significant going on in my life right now that I am at a complete, I don't know what to do, where to turn, and I feel like it has kind of come to a dead end. And I'm wondering if there's any advice you can give me at all. Tell me what to do.
Something that's come to a dead end?
Well, yeah, it's something really significant in my life that's happening.
And you're aware of it, though, right?
Absolutely. I've tried to seek out help repeatedly. It involves my daughter, and I've tried to seek out help repeatedly. And I've been told over and over and over again, I'm sorry, that there's nothing that can be done.
I don't agree with that. There's always something you can do. Huh, Nancy?
I agree. There's always something to be done. Sometimes the best thing to do is to, for you to release it. Because sometimes if you're pressing for something on your own time frame, it's not going to happen.
When people are negative, Nancy, like she's obviously being told by people, you know, this isn't going to work, you can't do this, it won't happen.
Yeah.
Does that have an effect on things?
If other people are telling you...
The negativity of these other people, even though you may stay positive, what about the negative people that surround you?
Don't listen to them. And that goes back to trust yourself. Trust what you know, because believe me, you know. You know the answer. You might not want to hear your own answer, but you know the answer. And once you can learn how to trust yourself and stop listening to everybody else, things will flow a lot easier. They'll resolve faster.
David's turn in Utah, first-time caller. Good morning, David.
Hi, George.
Hey there.
So I had a story about my mother and I being telepathic. We can speak to our spouse back and forth just a little bit.
How have you always been able to do that?
Not really. Just a couple of years back, my mom told me a story about it working, and I witnessed it myself, and it's quite interesting.
You got this gift from your mother, though, I bet.
Yeah, so I'm sitting there watching a TV show with my mom and dad, and my dad looks over and goes, "What'd you say, Chris?" And I looked baffled, and the day later, I asked my mom what that was all about, and she said, you know, if I just whisper it in my mind, you know, he'll hear it. If I say it out loud, he just gets upset. So sometimes I'll whisper it over and over and over, and then he'll listen. I thought that was kind of neat. And I tried it with my spouse a couple times. I can't receive, but I'm able to send. And so I'll just think of something, and sometimes she'll go, "Hey, do you want to go get some pizza?" And I was thinking, yeah, I really wish I could have some pizza, even though my wife is always a health nut and would never say something like that. But I thought it, and she said, "Hey, yeah, let's go get some pizza."
Well, it comes in handy sometimes, Nancy.
I think that's beautiful. That's how ultimately the human race is going to be operating like that. That's the way it's all going to be.
We'll never have communication. You'll just stare at people and think back and forth.
Yeah.
They're doing that with texting right now, so I guess why can't you do it with the old mind? First, thank you for that, David. Let's go to Richard in Goldsboro, North Carolina. Hey, Richard, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Thank you, guys. Nancy, want to thank you for all your hard work and efforts in helping the law enforcement people. They need help, all the help they can get. I wanted to also say that George has asked you a question about whether it was physical or spiritual. And the word God came up, and I'm glad that came up because, we need all his help we can get too. The question I had for you guys was, you brought up about a hologram while George was asking, any ways that you know you've been contacted. I've never heard that before. Where did you come up with that at? Do you have any information?
Actually, I think George came up with that.
Well, no.
It's my fault.
The question, was there any ways to tell if you've been contacted? And that was one of the ways that you said that, you know, holograms or something about a hologram. And well, the reason I was asking about that was I recently had a lot going on in my life lately, and, well, I was confronted with a hologram.
Really?
Yes. I know it was a hologram because something was coming at me. And, you know, if you're watching the cowboy ride from the sunset in, let's say, he starts out kind of small and comes at you kind of large, but he really hasn't traveled anywhere.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it came at me, and it got bigger and faster as it was coming, and I freaked out, had a chill run up my spine. But after thinking about it later on, it only lasted about 3 or 4 seconds. After thinking about it, Well, yeah, there's no way it could have done that. Well, I knew it was a hologram.
How many people conjure up stuff on their own, Nancy, and create these things? Like maybe Richard did that to himself.
My gut feeling, based on the way he just described that, is that he didn't. That to me sounds like that was some form of what you would call a real event, however you want to define that. It doesn't sound to me like he, in my book, Psychic Intuition, I went through, I mean, half the book is devoted to talking about every single type of hallucination that we have in all of our five main senses. So I really talk about the difference between a psychic reality and a hallucination. And there's some subtle differences in them. And yeah, you know, maybe it'd be interesting to have some more information on that. But my gut feel is that was a real event. I'd be interested to know what it was, what the object was.
Karen in Vancouver, Washington. Go ahead, Karen.
Hi. It's an honor to speak with both of you.
Well, you too. Only have a minute left, but at least we got you on.
Well, it's real short. Several times I will hear a voice telling me, you know, I should do this or I shouldn't do that. And I was wondering, is that something, you know, I hear it more like telepathic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I hear it.
That could be your instincts in you, but it also could be something psychic. As I relayed my story about the don't go through the green light, don't do it. Don't go through the green light, even though it's yours, don't do it. And it saved my life. That's something we all have, Nancy, built into us, isn't it?
Yeah, and some of us pay attention and some of us don't. So if
exactly.
You have a voice, and having a voice to start with is a great thing. So listen to it. Definitely. It's very valuable.
And it helps. Nancy, give out your websites and how people can get a hold of you.
Best way is my main website, which is theskepticalpsychic.com. And they can get a hold of me that way. They can read my predictions page. They can contribute to it. Anybody can. Or, you know, do readings, anything like that. I also have another website that's a little bit newer. It's called talkalien.com.
Okay, and the book, How to Talk to an Alien, still available for people?
Oh, yeah. Yep, definitely.
Okay, my friend. I appreciate you being on the program. It's a wonderful gift to have, the gift of intuition, and it really works. For Nathan Staten, Dan Galanti, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borrells, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.